More with Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network, who joins us on the Revel Wireless Hotline on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Doug, on the defensive side of the ball, the Browns made a key move with the hiring of Ray Horton as their defensive coordinator. Now, they had a pretty good guy here in Dick Geron, did an outstanding job the last two seasons. So if you're going to make a change, then you might as well get somebody as qualified as Ray Horton, who really was on the radar for head coaching jobs. I mean, a much-in-demand kind of guy, and I think the Browns hit a home run with that hire.
Well, yeah, and I think, he kind of hit a home run with some of the personnel that he inherits. He talks about, big guys that can run and little guys that can tackle. Well, he's got some big guys up front that can run, and he's got some little guys on the backside that, aren't afraid to tackle.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, and that's where I want to start, because the discussion about Ray Horton joining the Browns starts with the fact that he's bringing a 3-4 base scheme. He's bringing the Pittsburgh Steelers style of defense, because that's what he's learned under Dick LeBeau, both in Cincinnati and then as a player and then working for him in Pittsburgh as a coach. And I think a lot of that is going to be predicated on how well, most of it is going to be predicated on how well the players that are already here adapt. And my early sense is that when you look particularly at the defensive line, that you've got enough athletes there who can be versatile enough to handle this.
Yeah, I think, obviously they let Frosty Rucker go, and that was a case of, he didn't really fit a 3-4 scheme, and his contract, was going to kick in. But, with that said, you got Phil Taylor, you got Ataba Rubin, Kitchen played well for him. We saw what Hughes could do, and Billy Winn. So you've got some very athletic guys there, and everybody hears the term 3-4, and you think, well, that's just that's the way it is. But everything's so hybrid anymore. You look down there, and half the time you're trying to figure out who's what, because you got I think Jamal Shear last year, although we were playing a 4-3, he was standing up 10% of the time. So some parts of the transition have already been in place because of some of the things that Dick Geron did last year. But I think the thing about Ray Horton is, he comes with that mentality that we're going to attack you and you're going to have to stop us.
And I think it is so important that the youth that was brought into the defensive line, or has been brought in the last couple of years, you mentioned Phil Taylor, with regard to John Hughes and Billy Winn in particular, those two, along with Ataba Rubin, I get the sense that there are many different configurations that can be utilized just because of the kinds of athletes they are and because they're so young. There's nothing that's been stamped so deeply into their brain that they can adjust.
No, I mean, the fact that they're athletic, that's the important part. I mean, because, that's just one thing you can't teach. I mean, either a guy's athletic or he's not. Yeah, he can work hard and he can get stronger and all that, but it doesn't necessarily make him more athletic. But these guys are all, a pretty athletic group. And, we talked about, the people, the users and the people they've drafted here. But, that Kitchen guy last year, I mean, you put him on the nose, he's a pretty stout body. And
yeah.
I think, there's some sleepers within what they have on the roster besides those people that they've drafted.
That's a great point, because it would seem to me, and just watching the Steelers team through the years, that when you have depth at nose tackle, it wasn't just one guy who carried that load. And when you have depth at nose tackle, you're in much better shape, and you can do more. You can maintain what this Browns team was aiming for with Dick Geron, which is wear down opponents by having a fresh big body in there too.
Well, and you watch the Steelers. I mean, their thing is they're going to stop you on first down with the run. They got Casey Hampton in there. And if it's, it's something they think they need to, put him in there for two downs, and they'll do it. But then when you get to the obvious passing situation, out he goes, and, in comes a bunch of people that can just, haul ass after the passer.
And speaking of that, Jabal Sheard, we mentioned at times he was standing up. Mostly, you would think, exclusively in this defense, he's going to have to make that successful conversion to outside linebacker. I think it's a case where if he gets his body right for that, he was probably more physically more up to the standard of an outside linebacker in this defense 2 years ago as a rookie, 2011, than he is now. But because he did add some strength and bulk to handle the edge and set the edge. Now he's going to be more of a stand-up guy. I would think he might take his weight down a little bit and put greater emphasis on the athleticism and speed.
Well, yeah, and I think, if you look at some of the teams that do run the 3-4 and the hybrids, I mean, you see a Suggs, you know, what he does over in Baltimore. You see a Harrison and a Woodley in Pittsburgh and how that, you know, they play. You know, there's roles there that, you know, I think would, you know, he'd fit very well into.
Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network joining us on the Revel Wireless Hotline right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And, Doug, the other thing is the blitz concepts that Dick LeBeau and that defense are all about, which is overloading areas, which is crisscrossing defenders. You've watched that and studied that through the years. How do you see the Browns, A, executing that, and B, what it will mean for their opponents?
Well, I think, you know, the first thing, you know, right now they're going to have to find some linebackers, because that's not a position of depth in as much as they've been running the 4-3, and then you lose a Scott Fujita. Chris Gokong's coming back off an Achilles. You had some, you know, Robertson and James Michael Johnson,
yeah.
You know, come in and play well. But, you know, you need depth and you need experience there, because, you know, linebackers are kind of the key anytime you run a 3-4. So, you know, I think that's something that they're going to have to, you know, put a priority on in free agency or the draft, along with another cornerback. And, you know, but for the most part, you got the bodies up front. So now, you know, the numbers you got to deal with are just the back end of the defense.
Yeah, I fully agree. I think that's where the focus has to be, to just make sure you have enough of those linebackers added to the team that you can be competitive and find legitimate people to put out there, not only as starters but also as backups. And safety is a big part of this equation. Safeties blitz quite a bit in this defense. I think having T.J. Ward here is a good foundational part of this.
Yeah, T.J., I mean, obviously T.J. is – you know, somebody that we need to do him, see him play, you know, all 16 games, you know, for a season. But with that said, you know, his ability to blitz, I think, you know, last year he showed that he has a pretty good knack for it. And, you know, we know TJ is not afraid to hit. So, you know, he's got some of the ingredients that they're looking for. And I think, yeah, you probably need another safety to add to the pile. But, you know, by the same token, you see a young kid like Batamosi, you know, come in last year, and you wonder, you know, he just got his feet wet on the special teams part of it. You know, does he have – what kind of upside does he have as a safety?
Doug, one topic that I know is going to dominate this offseason, and we'll talk about it more than one time, I'm sure, is what's going to go on at quarterback, and in particular what might happen in the open market with regard to the Browns' potential pursuit of another quarterback. And I think we'd agree that they're going to try to bring in one and maybe more players at that position. All right, they're not going to stand pat with what they have at the quarterback position. Would you go along with that?
Yeah, I think, yeah, there's going to, you know, some of the bodies will change. I don't know how many of the three that they have will remain, but I would anticipate, you know, one new body coming in.
And one guy who probably won't be here, and at least there was some speculation that he might be, is Michael Vick. The Eagles doing a contract restructuring with him that seems to assure that he remains in Philadelphia for this season. I know there's a possibility he could be cut. You know, they'd have the freedom to do that. But on the presumption that they've done that because Chip Kelly wants to figure out what kind of a fit he is in his offense, and maybe he is the fit for his offense, there were those who thought, okay, because of the Joe Banner connection in Cleveland, that Michael Vick could end up in Cleveland. But the fact now is that he's off the market. But that still leaves a lot of discussion about Alex Smith out there. And I've even heard, and Peter King from Sports Illustrated speculating the possibility of a Joe Flacco becoming available and maybe someone the Browns would target. But I got to say, Doug, that's so hard for me to fathom. I can't see Ozzie Newsome parting ways with his Super Bowl MVP quarterback.
No, I can't see Ozzie doing that, and I can't see, Joe Flacco leaving a team that, you know, went to the Super Bowl. I mean, I think, you know, when you know that you have some of the ingredients around you, which, you know, the Ravens have, you know, kind of flipped their M.O. where they're more of an offensive threat, I think, than the dominant defense they were when they won their first Super Bowl, that, you know, I think he knows that there's, you know, pieces in place there with, You know, you got Ray Rice, you got Torrey Smith, you got Bolden, and you got the pit of the tight end and Dixon. You've got a surrounding cast that you can go forward with. And I think, you know, for Joe Flacco, that would be pretty tough to leave.
Yeah, I would say so. Now, Alex Smith, an interesting conversation because of what has gone on with Colin Kaepernick with the 49ers and the possibility that they have the surplus there and that he becomes available. And I don't know. I know he's got the history with North Turner. That's where that discussion gets heated up because of how well he was performing when Norv was working in San Francisco. But beyond that, I'm not entirely sure that that, too, is the right way for this Browns team to go.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, in all fairness, what you have to do is, you know, let Chud and Norv Turner and Scott Turner and everybody sit down and watch, you know, what you have here already and evaluate that because, you know, you're evaluating, you know, what they did last year as rookies, you know, Brandon Whedon in that case. There is, you know, a year of track record with Colt McCoy. And even Thaddeus Lewis, you know, when he got in there that last game, did a pretty darn good job. So, you know, there's I think, some evaluation that, you know, seriously needs to be done before you start making, you know, decisions that, you know, going to, you know, have a big direct effect on your future.
That's such a great point. Yeah, giving this staff and this group a chance to see exactly what they have, I would think is the first important step. I don't know that you have to rush into any decision with an additional quarterback, even though I agree there's going to be one brought aboard. But I think you can still take your time, decide collectively what you've got, and then make a move like that.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, even, you know, with the receivers, I mean, you look at, you know, Greg Little, he seemed to come on this year towards, you know, the end of the year, where light kind of went on for him. But, you know, but by the same token, Josh Gordon, who made some, you know, pretty amazing plays last year, you know, you got to remember that he had been out of football basically for, what, over a year, almost 2 years. And, you know, look at the upside of what, you know, that young guy has, you know, not to mention, you know, you got Benjamin and some other pieces that, you know, really were just getting their feet wet last year in the pro game. And it's a totally different game than what they were exposed to in college. I mean, everybody's fast, everybody's athletic, and, you know, you're trying to, you know, think, as we said, you know, as you're out there playing, instead of just reacting. And I think, you know, once you get, you know, a year or two under your belt, you'll see, you know, these guys really develop even to a further point than what we just got exposed to a little bit last year.
Doug, tremendous stuff as always, and thank you so much.
Okay.
He is Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network joining us on the Revel Wireless Hotline here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.